This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Chris and Amy, hello. Good morning on a cloudy, humid, warmer-ish day, I guess.
It is really humid.
It is humid out there, isn't it?
You know, the reason why I'm saying it's humid is this is the first morning this year that I walked outside and felt like I was in an armpit.
I'm telling you, when the humidity finally arrives in St. Louis, it is one of my least favorite times of the whole year.
Here's why I don't
mind. Because it gets here and then it just sticks around and it's ugh.
I don't want to be a grumbler. So here's the thing. I actually appreciate the bad weather. I have meteorological ADD. I get bored with weather when it's the same weather. So I appreciate the bad weather, one, because it makes you really enjoy the good non-humid days. But what I do like about humidity is it's very detoxing. You're constantly sweating, as long as you don't mind constantly sweating.
That's the problem. I mind constantly sweating. All of my areas. I don't like it. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji, welcome in. It's a short show today because we are scheduled to be out at 11:15, 11:20 is the pregame show today for the St. Louis Cardinals, wrapping up the series against the Angels, and they're going to try to salvage the finale of it. Please join us on the show, 314-436-7900 to call or text. You can leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app where you listen to the show live, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Well, I forgot how to spell Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Oh my God, the Blues did it again.
Oh my gosh.
They did it again. They have won 10 straight after beating Detroit in overtime last night.
Unbelievable. And Senator Cory Booker sets the record for the longest Senate speech. Technically not a filibuster, but very filibustery at 25 hours and 4 minutes.
And actor Val Kilmer passed away at the age of 65. And Amy, this is one of those that stings. You know, I don't know him personally, obviously, but it's one of those that just, you know, like Gene Hackman was like that. But for some reason, Val Kilmer really, really does it to me.
It's really, really sad. And I don't know, too, if it's partly because of the roles he plays. I know we'll talk about it more, but he played Iceman, right? He was like larger than life. He was so braggadocious and cavalier. And then, again, I know those were roles, but then, you know, really hit hard with cancer in the later years of his life and dealing with the struggles that he did and how illness can weaken a body, right? I don't know. It just seemed like he was such this larger than life figure.
Yeah, we will talk about Val Kilmer later in the show, which is a shorty today, again, because of Cardinals baseball coming up.
Get it free, Thomas and Fowler. Thomas to Fowler in the clear. Backhander, he scores! And the joke in, the Blues have won again! 10 in a row! Fowler!
Well, dude, they keep doing it. And I will be perfectly honest with you. FanDuel Sports Network for the call. That was John Kelly. Man, Amy, I am telling you, I am like, all right, I have to confess something. So I'm keeping an eye on both games.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, when they were down 1-0, I just primarily started focusing on Cardinals because they're in they're heading into extra innings last night at Busch Stadium. And I thought, they're done. Okay. They pulled the goalie. Bennington's out. That's the end of that. And then I'm checking Twitter and just an explosion of tweets.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. They've won 10 in a row. I go, what? What the hell happened?
Yeah.
I've been watching the Cardinals do this back and forth thing with the Angels, frustratingly, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. A frustrating last two nights for them at Busch after such a great weekend. Mm-hmm. But here are the Blues, and my God, they keep doing
that
it.
That was lit.
They are. I'm telling you.
It sounds like he was correcting who scored. No, that was lit. It wasn't Cam Fowler. That was lit. It is pretty amazing. And I will say I kind of did the same thing where you're watching the games. And then I had a, you know, you got to take care of business, life. I had a mattress swap out. I swapped out a mattress. I was on a Costco mattress, a $500 Costco mattress. And I had a nicer mattress that was at my parents' house. I swapped those out. I love the Costco mattress, but I think these old bones need something a little bit softer. So that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was doing the mattress stuff, and the Blues are down 1-0, and my phone, you know, the Blues are pulling Jordan Bennington, and I'm dealing with the mattress stuff, and I'm thinking, they're gonna lose this game. And kind of like, I don't know if it's, you try to protect yourself from being hurt.
Right.
You know, like
yeah,
a
I know
jaded
what you mean.
Lover.
Yep.
And I was like, it's okay. It had to end anyway. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say I gave up hope. I just, maybe I was distracted. At any rate, then the next thing I see is the Blues have tied it up. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, this team is never going to lose again. So I went through the whole up and down roller coaster of emotions of guard your heart. Don't be hurt. Don't let them hurt you. And then, oh my gosh, they're going to win. They're never going to lose. And I immediately went to Twitter because 99.9% of the time I hate social media. But there are certain moments, especially sports related, where I'm like, I got to get on social media. Sometimes it's a State of the Union address because they're like funny comedians making hilarious observations. But with sports like this, and it's not just the St. Louis response. It's around the NHL. Man, you got to jump into Canucks and Flames Twitter. Those people are
livid.
Mad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're so mad.
And I don't blame them.
They're like, you know,
you know what?
Blanking the Blues type stuff.
Do you know what probably would suck like really bad?
Is to be a Flames fan or Canucks
well,
fan?
Well, yeah, more Vancouver for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the Canucks, but I feel really bad for them, kind of, because they've always had pretty good teams. And they just never can put it together. It was almost like what the Blues were for years. Like, you're really good. You should be an actual contender. And then everything falls apart for you. So I kind of feel bad for them. Maybe I should not, but I do. And now the Blues have the first wild card spot. They have played themselves into the first wild card spot. Again, the Wild, who are behind them, so it's Blues, Minnesota. Minnesota has a game in hand, and the Blues are just a point ahead. So, but still, I mean, this run they are the only team that was in wild card contention that's got a plus differential differential.
It's unbelievable. I mean, by far the best team since the Four Nations Cup.
It's unreal.
And this 10 game win streak. So this is the third time in franchise history that the Blues have had a 10 game win streak. We all know the record when that happened. 2019, the 11 game win streak when the unknown, who the heck is this guy, Jordan Bennington, between the pipes.
One of the NHL's three stars, by the way, of the month of March.
And then in 2002, the Blues won 10 straight. That was a loaded team after they won the President's Trophy in 2001. So in 2002, they win 10 straight. If the Blues could tie the record here. Now I don't want to say anything. We all know what they need to do. They play the Penguins tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know when this is going to.
You're playing with house money at this point, right?
Yeah, I don't know when it's going to end. And it would take something incredible to happen for them to not make the playoffs. So they're going to be in the playoffs.
Don't say that.
Okay. Well,
I'm knocking on wood.
They're 7 points ahead of Calgary, who does have two games in hand right now. They are 8 points in front of Vancouver. We were talking about those two teams. I don't know, man. They would have to play some really good hockey, those other two. And the Blues would have to really be bad for the next week or so. You know what I mean? The next, 6 games? And I just, I don't think that's going to happen. But what they do in the postseason, I don't know. Do they make a deep run? Are they teasing us right now? Is this as good as it gets? If it is as good as it gets, let's just enjoy it because this has been a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to talk to Andy Strickland with FanDuel Sports Network, ringside reporter. He will give us his thoughts on last night. Daniela Velasquez, mm-hmm. alderwoman in St. Louis, is going to join us. We'll talk to John Rooney at 10:30. And I, Amy,
yeah?
have gotten some devastating news. An email I received 6 minutes ago. After many conversations with the St. Louis Cardinals organization, and I am quoting the email, the banana ball games in St. Louis on April 4th and 5th have been rescheduled due to inbound severe weather and heavy rains in St. Louis.
This is breaking news.
This is breaking news.
Breaking news. Terrible wax.
This is breaking news from St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Yeah, the banana ball games for Friday and Saturday at Busch Stadium have been postponed already. They have rescheduled them for July 18th and July 19th. Both of them are 7 o'clock games. So the Savannah Bananas and the Party Animals will have to wait a few months to play their game. Well, I am devastated. I've been looking forward to this weekend. I actually rearranged plans to be at the game on Saturday.
Can I clarify? Do you mean that you rearranged tentative plans?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I don't make hard commitments.
Yeah, that's right. I committed to banana ball, though.
So this is a banana bummer, but I will say, don't you feel a little bit of relief?
No.
Because, come on, it would have been hail and tornadic activity.
No, look, when I was looking at the forecast for what it might be, this weekend, I didn't see any rain. I was looking at temperature, and it was supposed to be like 60, and I thought, oh, perfect. 60-degree night at Busch Stadium, watching banana ball. Here we go. Now it's going to be July 19th, 18th and 19th, and it'll be 150 degrees with 90% humidity.
You don't know that. Here's why you don't know. My sister and brother-in-law got married on, I want to say July 7th. It was something like that. It was early July.
I am devastated.
It was awful. Like 105 degrees every single day, except for the day of their wedding.
Well, that's nice.
And you could argue that banana ball is more important
than their wedding?
Yes.
I totally agree.
There's more people. More people are going to be at banana ball.
Well, not this weekend.
Well, but in July, that's what I mean. So you could argue that this will affect more people. I think the weather will cooperate.
Two sold-out nights at Busch Stadium for banana ball, supposed to be this Friday and Saturday. If you have tickets for the Friday game, they are now good for Friday, July 18th. If you have tickets for Saturday, they're good for the following day, Saturday, July 19th.
Are we going to get this game in today?
I think they will try. According to the weather that I have been hearing, between 12 and 2 is when it's supposed to hit the downtown area. So maybe they can get in 5 innings.
Well,
if they get in 4 or 5 innings, they won't have to make it up. It can be an official game. Or 5, it'll be 5. If they can do that, I don't know. We'll see. But I think they're going to try. But it's supposed to rain all damn weekend starting tonight. That sucks.
Well, we'll keep you updated. You got to stay tuned to KMOX. We're not only the home of the Cardinals, we are the home of the weather.
We're the home of everything, really. I love weather mode.
Storm mode?
Love it.
It is exciting.
It's Chris and Amy, 104.1 FM KMOX.
When our founder said we must mutually pledge to each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We need that now from all Americans. This is a moral moment. It's not left or right. It's right or wrong. It's getting good trouble. My friend, Madam President, I yield the floor.
Woo! That was after 25 hours and what was it? 5 minutes?
4 minutes,
I think. 4 minutes. 25 hours. Says 5 minutes here.
Okay.
New Jersey Democrat.
All right.
25 hours and 5 minutes. Senator Cory Booker broke the record for the longest floor speech in modern history. He surpassed the late Senator Strom Thurmond's speech that lasted 24 hours and 18 minutes. That was back in 1957, which was an actual filibuster in 1957 when Senator Thurmond was using all of his efforts to block the Civil Rights Act, Ron.
Yeah. It's a little different than that.
Jeez Louise, but yes. So Strom Thurmond.
He really hated civil rights.
That guy really hated civil rights. And so Cory Booker has said that since he became a senator, he felt it was like a very, he called it a strange shadow hanging over this institution, that the longest speech, all the issues that have come up, all the noble causes that people have done or the things that typically try to stop. He found it strange that Strom Thurmond had the record. It was to stop the Civil Rights Act. And so technically what Booker did was not a filibuster because he wasn't trying to stop a specific piece of legislation.
Right.
Technically, it was just a floor speech, but he did surpass the record of, and it was really interesting. Booker said to prepare for it. He stopped eating and he dehydrated himself in the days leading up to his speech so he wouldn't have to leave the floor, leading to muscle cramps and spasms as the hours wore on. And a reporter had interviewed Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz gave a speech in 2013 that was 21 hours. And Cruz said his advice for Booker was to wear comfortable shoes and don't drink water. But that's insane. Like, you know, he stopped eating and he dehydrated himself. No wonder why he was emotional.
This is like, that's what Scott Hansen, who does Red Zone, anybody who's watched NFL Red Zone, which is a pretty fun way to watch football on Sundays.
I hate it.
I'm sure you do hate
it,
but
it's a lot. I like the ambiance of one game.
Yeah.
I don't like broadcasters.
I hear you on that.
Yeah,
I do hear you. Because the way I consume it is I watch my game, I watch the Bears play, and then the rest of the time I'm watching the Red Zone. And he does not take bathroom breaks because they don't have commercials. It is 7 hours of commercial-free football. And he talked about what he eats before. I can't remember if he has coffee or not, but he does have a lot of salty stuff. Like, he'll eat olives so that he doesn't feel the urge to go to the bathroom. And I
wonder if he takes, like, Imodium, too. Stop everything.
Well, that would be really not good for you to do that.
I know, it sounds
all the
awful
time.
For you. Yeah.
But I also knew a guy who once a year would do a radio marathon. It would be a 24-hour broadcast.
Gosh. Yeah.
And it was a Mike North marathon, and it would be for charity. I forgot the charity. But he'd have a bunch of guests come in. And that is way easier than what Cory Booker did, because he did it basically by himself, with the exception of people asking him questions to give him a little bit of a break. That's unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
That's truly unbelievable to do what he did, and it's a protest, and I get it. You can disagree with him. You may not like him, and that's perfectly fine. I understand why he did it. I think he was speaking out against something he doesn't like, the way the administration is approaching its second term, and that's fine. It is his right to do that. It wasn't disruptive. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't violent. People didn't get hurt. I would say that this is the right way, if you want to cause trouble, to cause trouble, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, like, you know, funny that Ted Cruz is like, all right, here's my advice, because Ted Cruz, I mentioned 2013, that was to block the Affordable Care Act. Rand Paul had a long filibuster after the National Security Agency surveillance programs in 2015. Jeff Merkley against Neil Gorsuch. It's a thing. It's what senators do. And Cory Booker said he was going to give the speech as long as he was physically able, with nothing but a Bible verse in his pocket. I wonder what that means. Like, I guess that means nothing, like no water, no food, no snacks. He and his staff prepared 1,164 pages of material ahead of the speech. And talk about a wide range of topics.
Amy, just from a physically demanding standpoint, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, my
God. Forget what he's talking about. It's impressive to do that for 25 hours.
Oh, absolutely.
What is the longest you've ever done anything? I've never slept for 25 hours. I've never been in a coma. What have you done? What is the longest thing you've ever done? The longest activity you've ever enjoyed?
Working with you.
Hey. You can do worse.
You could do better, but you could do worse.
That's right. Let us know the longest thing you've ever done. 314-436-7900. Text us or leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. We are going to talk some Blues hockey. They have won every game they've played for like five straight years. They're on a 10-game win streak right now. Andy Strickland with FanDuel Sports Network joins the show next on 104.1 FM KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Time to go to the guest line because the Blues are on a tear right now. They have won 10 straight games, and we go to the guest line this morning. We welcome in Andy Strickland, who is the ringside reporter for FanDuel Sports Network, with us on the show. How's it going, Andy? This is pretty awesome.
Yeah, listen, unexpected. People are certainly enjoying it. They're having a lot of fun. I mean, last night was great energy inside the Enterprise Center because you did have a lot of Detroit fans that came down. I imagine they came down from Michigan, unless they live here. But there were a lot of red and white. Kind of took me back to the old Norris Division days, to the days where we used to see the Red Wings here in St. Louis more than once a year. But listen, their goaltender was sensational last night. He just looked like nothing was going to get past him. And finally, they broke through in the final minute of the game. Jordan Kyrou did. And then they win it in dramatic fashion in overtime. So when it's good, it's good. And things are really good for St. Louis. They're the most confident team in the league right now, no question.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like the Blues are on one in the sense that they're not just winning games, but it kind of felt like, even though they played well last night, that they were going to lose that game. I don't want to say I had accepted that fate, but, you know, they pulled Jordan Binnington. There's not much time left, and you're kind of preparing yourself. Well, the winning streak had to end sometime. But then they tie it up with 20 seconds left in the game, win the game in overtime, and it feels once more like, well, this team's never going to lose. Like, this is just who they are now.
Yeah, I know. You just had that feel. Even, you know, in the final minutes of the game, you just kind of, you know, assumed that they were going to tie it up. I mean, you just didn't see this team being shut out. And, you know, they had their way with Detroit in the first period. Even after the second period, I think they had 23 shots on goal. But I talked to Steve Ott, the associate head coach for the Blues, after the second period, and I could sense his frustration with the Blues' inability to maybe get to the inside. A lot of the shots they were taking were, you know, from the perimeter. And I knew he wanted to make an adjustment and that the effort was going to be there in the third period. And listen, they turned it on. And there was a lot of energy in the building last night also because, you know, Jimmy Snuggerud playing his first career NHL game and all the anticipation of him signing with the Blues and getting to the National Hockey League. So, listen, it was a fun atmosphere. You got to find different ways to win. They're not always going to be 5-1, 6-1 victories. So you can't complain when you find a way to get 2 points, especially when Calgary loses last night to Utah and the Blues are just in prime position. They've now jumped ahead of Minnesota. So it looks like, you know, they could very well face Vegas and get that number one wild card seed once the playoffs begin. So, you know, their focus is just on, you know, getting as many points as possible. But they are so much fun to watch right now, there's no doubt.
You know, in 2019, when the Blues went on that 11-game win streak, I don't want to say that there was surprise in the locker room, but there kind of was, because you had a team that went from worst to first. You had Ryan O'Reilly, who had, you know, bad experiences in Buffalo, had said that he dreaded coming to Enterprise. He felt like he was a cancer in the locker room. You know, things were down for that team. And then they turn it around. They go on this 11-game winning streak. We all know what happens after that. I'm not in the locker room this year, but you are. How would you describe the turnaround, the grasping of the turnaround for the team in the locker room? Do they feel like, man, we had this in us all along? Is there some element of surprise for them?
I think there's some surprise. I mean, you go back to 2019, you know, the 11-game winning streak was the longest in Blues history. Mm-hmm. So I don't think any team expects to roll off 11 games in a row. But that team was different than what we're seeing right now. I think that team completely underachieved the first half of the season. They fired their coach for different reasons than why the Blues made the decision to make a coaching change this year. You know, they had, you know, you mentioned Ryan O'Reilly. They signed him in the offseason. They brought in Tyler Bozak. They brought in David Perron. They brought in all these veteran guys. You know, Robert Thomas was a rookie at the time. They brought in Pat Maroon, who obviously had a big impact on the team. And so they just weren't able to get it together. But even when they were last in the league, I want to say they were only 7 points out, which, interestingly enough, I think coming out of the Four Nations right now, the Blues were something like 7 or 8 points out at the time when they came out of the Four Nations. And I'll tell you what, you know, with Jim Montgomery, you know, it's been such a whirlwind with him this season. You know, he didn't have a training camp with this team. He was coaching in Boston to begin the year, gets fired, and basically the next day later he's coaching the Blues. I think the Four Nations break gave him a time to sit back, truly evaluate what he has here, who he wants to play with who. They had a couple of real hard practices coming out of the Four Nations, even before Bennington and Parayko rejoined the team. And, you know, that kind of served as a little bit of a mini training camp, I think, for him and also for the Blues, and an opportunity to get the coaching staff on the same page and to make some adjustments to how they play, become more aggressive, become more predictable, be faster, look quicker. I mean, they look like one of the quickest teams in the league right now. They made an adjustment, a simple adjustment, by elevating, you know, Dylan Holloway from the third line to the second line, and the chemistry that he has with Jordan Kyrou has been unbelievable to watch that come together. So, listen, there's a lot of similarities, I do think, between the runs from 2019 to where they are right now, obviously, with Jordan Binnington in goal. But this is a little more of a surprise, I think, now compared to 2019, only in the sense that I think that team had so much talent. This team does too, but that team was expected to be a Stanley Cup contender. I think you look at the Blues and evaluate this team prior to the season, I think people were still looking at this team and the organization, not necessarily in a rebuild, but certainly still in transition, building towards getting to the playoffs. And I think they're going to have a chance to make some noise once they get there.
Andy, how much of this, everything they're doing now, is him, is Jim Montgomery?
Well, I think he's a big part of it. I think coaching has a lot of a big impact in the NHL, maybe more so in comparison to some other sports, although, you know, coaches are always important. But he's had a tremendous impact. I think he's given a lot of guys confidence. You look at a guy like Zachary Bolduc, who had no goals at the time of the coaching change. And he goes up to Bolduc in his first practice ever before they played at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers that night. And he said, listen, every time you get the puck, I want you to shoot. You're a scorer. You're a shooter. You got to shoot the puck. And this guy's rattled off 16 goals. I think he's got the most goals among rookies since the Four Nations. And, you know, he's got to be up there since Jim Montgomery took over back in November in terms of rookie scoring, goal scoring, that is. His plus minus is leading all rookies since the Four Nations. So he's playing with a ton of confidence right now. So he's elevated the play of those guys. You know, you bring in a guy like Cam Fowler, you know, who was just under 1,000 games played at the time of the trade. Now he's over 1,000 games. He gets the game winner last night. This guy, you look at his numbers prior to coming to St. Louis this season, playing with Anaheim versus how he's just taken off since coming here. I mean, the experience they have defensively is incredible. When you look at Ryan Suter, how many games he's played, over 1,500 games. And, you know, Justin Faulk approaching 1,000. I mentioned Fowler. Nick Leddy being over 1,000 games. Colton Parayko has played 700-800 games. And what's interesting, this 10-game winning streak has all taken place without Colton Parayko. And when he went down prior to the trade deadline, I think that made a decision for Doug Armstrong that he was going to move on from some guys. But, you know, Braden Schenn said no. He had the no-trade clause. He exercised his right to waive his no-trade clause, so he didn't go anywhere. And I think by him not going anywhere, that led to other players say, hey, if you're not going to leave, I'm not leaving either. And it wasn't a situation where Schenn didn't want to go have a chance to win with another team. I truly believe that he wanted to help this team get into the playoffs. It's a really close team. You see the little things that are happening right now that tend to happen with championship teams or teams that get into the playoffs or have success, staring into the camera as you see the players do prior to the game. You know, the Jobu voodoo doll that they have now inside the dressing room from the Major League movie. I mean, these things don't happen by accident, and it's always interesting when they do, much like the Gloria mantra that we saw a few years back in 2019. So they're a super close team. They come together at the right time. And listen, you want to make sure you're playing your best hockey as you enter the playoffs. I think the Blues are certainly in a good position to do that.
So, Andy, are we still thinking Parayko's here before the season ends?
Oh, there's no doubt.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll play on this upcoming road trip. I think he could play right now. In fact, I think he's been cleared to play, but it's a matter of him being confident in that knee. And there's no real reason to rush it right now when you consider where they are in the standings and, you know, how they've played, obviously, since he's been out. So you're not going to rush that. He's going to be so important come playoff time. You're going to need this guy, obviously, in the worst way. So, but he's going to want to play some games also and get his timing back and kind of get his confidence back and all of that prior to the playoffs. So I would imagine he'll get in a good 3-4 games, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him on this upcoming road trip after this 3-game homestand.
Andy, one of my favorite things to do, just hanging out at the rink around practices, during the games, talking to members of the other teams, broadcast teams, or even as you got into the playoffs, talking to the national broadcasters. And what's been really fun/funny right now is watching the response from Flames and Canucks fans and like circulating on social media and the NHL in general just imploding because what the Blues are doing. Have you had any conversations from outside of St. Louis, people outside of St. Louis, to get some outside perspective of this team?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because I was on Nick Kiprios's podcast the other day, and, you know, Kiprios, longtime broadcaster, Hockey Night in Canada, won a Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers, played with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Old school Blues fans will remember Kiprios because he's the guy that fell on Grant Fuhr's leg accidentally in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that, you know, really hurt the Blues' chances of advancing that year. They had a really good team that season. But we were joking because I said all of Canada hates the Blues. Mm-hmm, I mean, it's not just Edmonton and Vancouver who have, you know, completely had their playoffs hopes just crushed by the Blues. But Edmonton, you know, the fact that, you know, the Blues took Dylan Holloway and Philip Roberg and signed those two players to offer sheets. I mean, Montreal comes here last week and they just get, you know, stomped 6-1 by the Blues here. So, yeah, I don't think St. Louis, in terms of the Blues, they don't have a whole lot of Canadian friends right now.
No, they don't. You know, when the Blues, you bring up Kiprios, when the Blues won the Cup in 2019, that's who I was standing to, waiting to go online, on the ice after the game. And, you know, you introduce yourself, and all I could think of was like, do you know how much I hated you? I did not.
Tell him. He would have loved it.
I know. I should have just said, like, man, I hated you so much when I was 15 years old. You ruined everything.
Yeah, now he's a great guy, though. You know, and he's been on my podcast that I do with Cam Jansen, the Cam and Strick podcast. If people want to check that out, he's been a great guest. We talked about it and had, certainly a lot of laughs. And he's admitted to the fact that he fell on him on purpose and then took a couple of nasty cross checks from Chris Pronger, too. But, hey, that's playoff hockey. You know, you do whatever it takes to win, even if that means taking out your other the other team's goaltender, which he did. But look, you know, he's had a lot of success as a broadcaster.
We're not living
in the past. We're moving forward now.
I do nothing but Kadri
a few years ago too when they were playing the Colorado Avalanche.
I can't stop thinking about that dumb Yzerman.
Oh, nothing but live in the past. That's all I do.
Who cares about the Cup?
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm still mad about the Detroit series.
All right.
Andy Strickland, tomorrow the Blues will play the Penguins. You better be part of a winning broadcast, I'm telling you.
Hey, listen, I'm going to give my best effort, okay, to make sure that the Blues tie the franchise record for the longest winning streak. And who knows, man, Saturday, Colorado comes to town, and who knows, maybe that's a game where they have a chance to break the record. But you just hope this continues, man. They are riding the wave. And when you win games like they did last night, there's something special happening down at the Enterprise Center.
Maybe they never lose again for the rest of the year.
How about that?
Wouldn't that be something?
16-0 in the playoffs.
Right. They just sweep all the way through.
Why not?
I'm into it. Andy Strickland, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Andy Strickland from FanDuel Sports Network. Again, the Blues will play Pittsburgh. That'll be tomorrow. It's the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Hey, Ranj, did you see this? I was looking up some interesting facts about the filibuster, since Senator Cory Booker did not do a filibuster, but it kind of felt like a filibuster. He did the longest speech on the Senate floor.
Aye.
So did you know a filibuster comes from the Spanish word filibustero, which is like a freebooter or a pirate?
I did not
or
see
a
this,
robber.
No.
And the Spanish word originally comes from a Dutch word, which I don't know how to say it because it's V-R-I-J-B-U-I-T-E-R, but it means a privateer or a pirate. Anyway, there really were filibusteros that were the true pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
They were
That's interesting.
They were pirates, and they would, like, I don't know, raid and sack towns and rob ships.
Yeah, I know what a pirate is. So a filibusterer is considered a pirate?
Filibustero. But with the end of the Caribbean West Indies piracy in the early 18th century, which was a long time ago, the term filibuster fell out of general currency for a long time until, you know, the Senate picked it back up.
Reporting for duty, general currency. All right. I did not know about any of that.
I'm a filibustero.
Did you see Joya's Deli, their Instagram post yesterday? So I was notified by it by a friend who lives in Chicago and had come through town last year and wanted to stop at a place to get lunch and went to Joya's, he and his family. And he texted me after the fact and he said, oh, my God, how did you not tell me about this place? It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I said, I know. I've been telling everybody about Joya's and how great it is.
Best sandwich.
So yesterday I get this message from that friend. And he sent me a screenshot of Joya's Instagram post, and the post says it's got a photo of a stadium kiosk, the one that, remember when Joya's was at Busch for a short period of time? And it says, we are excited to announce that Joya's Deli will be vending at the Cubs Wrigley Field home opener this Friday, April 4th. So excited, can't wait. And of course it got a ton of attention. People, I think local news had picked up on it and a lot of people had shared it. Mm-hmm. My friend sent it to me and said, he sent me the screenshot and he said, I was so excited until I realized what the date was.
Oh.
It's an April Fool's joke. So he was so excited because he's a Cubs fan and was going to go get it at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And he was thrilled. And then he realized, oh, damn it, this is an April Fool's joke. And I told him, I bet there are people up there who are more pissed about it than the people here who thought for a minute that Joya's would be serving at Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
When you think you're going to get Joya's and then you don't get it, that sucks. It's kind of like banana ball. You think you're going to get banana ball this weekend and then they cancel the games.
This guy and his banana balls, he is so disappointed.
I have the worst banana balls right now over this. They have, in case you didn't see this, if you have games scheduled or if you had tickets for the game scheduled this weekend, they have been rescheduled. Banana Ball is coming back July 18th and 19th.
Yeah.
So the rain this weekend is too much for them.
In the spirit of the Joya's April Fool's post, Emo's Pizza on Instagram, and it took me a split second to realize, okay, wait, this is a joke. They said they were introducing Lunchimos.
Lunchimos.
Yep. It's all the St. Louis flavor you love in a lunchbox and lunchbox approved. And it was this little, like, Lunchables, but it was Lunchimos. You could build your own Emo's Pizza in a Lunchables box. It actually looks legit. Yeah. And people were, like, frustrated. They're saying, like, why does this doesn't look like a joke. This looks like something you should actually launch.
Did you?
Lunchimos is pretty funny.
Wasn't it last year or the year before there was a story about how Lunchables is one of the worst things you could possibly eat?
I think it is. I think it's the single worst thing you could eat.
Yeah. Well, Emos don't do that.
I know. But Lunchimos is pretty funny.
It is pretty
funny.
And
everybody wants it.
Good on them. Good on Joya's for their April Fool's jokes. Usually I don't like April Fool's jokes.
I'm not a prankster.
It's not even about that.
Hey,
it's just
Brad Young, Aristotle Fisher and Young, gave me trouble yesterday. He said, Amy,
why?
He said, if you're going to do a April Fool's joke, you need to not laugh before the punchline.
That's true. He's right.
Well, because we played our special open.
You're listening to The Amy Show, no longer featuring Chris Ranji, because he has passed away.
Well,
how can you not laugh at that?
Yeah, you did. You laughed right in the middle of it. Like you were laughing that I died.
And then we made a promo out of it. Hey, that's good stuff. Make a promo. Call Dave.
as we say goodbye to this segment, a text message to us. Since when did Chris and Amy start at 9 o'clock?
Oh.
Last Monday. We are now 9 to noon every day on 104.1 FM KMOX. When we come back, we're going to get a Civics 101 lesson. We are less than a week away from the mayoral election here in St. Louis. The county has elections on April 8th as well. And we will talk to Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez next on 104.1 FM. It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX Hour 2. The Cardinals pregame show is at 11:20 today, so we are leading toward that. And joining us in studio for a Civics 101 lesson, we talked about this weeks ago that we'd like to have her back in to kind of tell us how things work. Daniela Velasquez, alderwoman for the city of St. Louis, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me
hey,
here.
Hey, before we get started on the important stuff,
we have to.
I've been distraught about the Bananas canceling their game, and you said, hey, I got a story about Bananas.
could this you is please, what happens when you try and, like, get to know radio
personnel. This is why they say don't fraternize with the media.
Yeah, don't say anything. Like, just tell us what happened with the Bananas.
Well, so I may have this particular thing about life. I don't know if my guardian angels are, like, you know, have a good sense of humor, but twice in my life, on two separate occasions, in two different cities, once when I was living in Tampa and once when I was here at the convention center parking lot, I stepped out of my car and slipped on a banana peel. I did not fall.
Like in a cartoon?
I did not. I'm sure I, like, spazzed out a bit or, not spazzed out, but,
flailed.
I flailed. I did not fall, but ever since then, I have, like, banana peels that periodically follow me around. So I'll be walking and there will be a banana peel. I'll drive by and there will be a banana peel. So.
And you said people send you photos of
them? They do, because they're like, hey, I thought of you. I saw this banana peel when I was walking.
Oh, because now I'm going to always think of you.
And now so are your listeners.
You know, one time I saw a banana peel in our garage and I almost stepped on it and thought, who throws a banana peel
exactly
on the ground?
Who does
who just
that?
Does
Hasn't
that?
They not, haven't they not seen any cartoons?
I've watched all the cartoons. I thought we learned lessons from them. Yeah.
Okay. See, this is what I get.
And don't litter. Don't litter. And don't...
I mean, at least it's biodegradable. But
yeah,
but I
sure.
think it takes a while.
It does.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen the even like the hollowed out ones have crossed my path.
Well,
like
we're glad you're okay.
I know we are glad you're okay. And here's another thing. What I'm glad is now when people see banana peels, they are going to remember that civics matters.
Right.
They're going to think of you.
And to not throw banana peels. Not casually discard them
That's right.
on the street or the sidewalk.
So we have you in because we've been talking about doing this hypothetical civics lesson for a long time, but now it's no longer
Or we could have
theoretical.
A cartoon civic lesson. Mm-hmm. I'm just a bill,
you could do
not
an...
slipping on banana peels
I'm
on
just
Capitol
a bill.
Hill.
I like
I'm
that.
Just a bill. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the grammar one, conjunction, junction. What's my function?
I've learned so much from it.
I know. All the Spanish I know, which is not very much because I made the super stupid decision in high school to learn French. None of my friends
useless.
None of my friends speak French. They all speak Spanish.
Yep.
Friends from all over the world.
One of my biggest regrets is not paying close
Spanish.
Attention to Spanish.
So all the Spanish I know is from Sesame Street, which is actually really cool because it does introduce kids at, like, at such a young age, like counting in Spanish. So that's a whole other thing.
I
think
know.
We should teach Spanish kindergarten to 12th grade.
I know. ¿Dónde está el baño?
That's an important one.
That is an important one.
Yeah. Where's the bathroom?
So that would be my thing, is we need to teach Spanish from kindergarten through 12th grade. Because 2 years in high school is not going to do anything for you.
I agree.
Okay, so that's my... Where do we want to start here with our civics lesson?
Well, you tell me. So I did do some homework last night just to, you know, just to double check I knew my facts right. Did not slip on any banana peels as I was surfing the internet. So I don't know where you want to start. One thing I did want to just mention, I think I tweeted it today in my little just making sure, you know, St. Louis is a unique city and it's not just I'm saying it and we live here. So we, you know, we think it's unique because of the things that happen. But actually, it is one of 41 independent cities in the country. And only three of those cities that are outside Virginia, because apparently 38 independent cities are in Virginia. But St. Louis...
Oh.
Baltimore what? And Carson City, Nevada are outside of Virginia are the three independent cities. So I think maybe we can start with part of St. Louis's uniqueness is that it is an independent city that doesn't sit in a county.
I was going to ask, what does that mean, an independent city, just to lay the groundwork?
Right.
There.
It doesn't sit in a county. So sometimes you might hear people get confused because we have these elected offices, for example, the collector of revenue and the license collector and the recorder of deeds that are technically even the board of elections that are county offices. But you say that and some people are like, well, St. Louis County? Well, no, because St. Louis is an independent city. It has functions of both a city and a county.
Okay.
So things like the court system, because we have our own city court system, our jail, our CJC, You know, that would technically be like a county function, but because St. Louis is its own city, not within a county, we have these functions that are both, that are county functions, yeah. but
the city has to handle them.
Yes, yeah. exactly. So it's you know.
So it's more work for a city.
Exactly.
Really. Yeah.
So, and then talking of the county, here's a question that I do get a lot from people, and that would be kind of the difference of the purview or the authority of the mayor of the city of St. Louis and County Executive Sam Page. So in the sense of how do St. Louis City mayoral duties differ from that of a county executive?
Well, I think they're essentially the same. So maybe we could take a few steps back on our, you know, every government has three branches, even the federal government, the state government. They have the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch. So the mayor or the county executive sits under the executive branch. So they are the, you know, chief executive of that governmental body. So what might affect some of their responsibilities are some of the other offices that sit, you know, within that governmental body. So, for example, in St. Louis, we actually have a lot of executive power because a lot of different executives with that executive power, even though the mayor is the head of the city, you know, we also have a comptroller that fits under the executive branch. We have a president of the board, which is under the legislative branch, but because they have the Board of Estimate and Apportionments, or ENA, as mm-hmm. it's often abbreviated, some of those executive functions that maybe the county doesn't have, the mayor wouldn't have in the city because there's another kind of body. And, you know, St. Louis is, I see a furrowed eyebrow over here from Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
He's not great at math.
Please continue.
He's taking notes. He's like,
I will share a doc. I put together a document just to just to make sure that I had try to have my facts right.
The question that I have here then is, because this is along the lines or related to the conversation of whether or not the city and the county should merge, right? And this has been an ongoing thing for decades and decades and decades, and it always gets shot down. But there are a lot of people who think that we should have that. If we did, I guess this is twofold. Would it be better? And secondly, would there even be a county executive position in that case?
Well, I have my thoughts on if it'd be better. I mean, well, I'll just say, I mean, I think if you look at it comparably to other cities, what the structure that we have, we are competing against ourselves. So I think, you know, one thing to think about in the consolidation or reunification, I've been trying to figure out the least offensive verb, you know, is that because we're so fragmented, you know, Clayton is competing with Chesterfield and the city of St. Louis, when really we should all be working together to compete against Nashville and Indianapolis and other, and you know,
and all of these cities, Nashville, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Cincinnati, they are all not like us, right?
Right. Now, you're making me go back to other history. I'm pretty sure that Indianapolis was one of the cities that consolidated, and it's
fairly recently, I think.
And Nashville did. So Nashville, now they have, I think they have like what they call a Unigov. I didn't make it up. And they have,
it is a little of a weird name.
Right. Yeah. And so part of, like, I was reading about Nashville, and part of the negotiation was that, like, their legislative body is like 40 people, which is, you know, comparable. Chicago's got 50 aldermen. Oh. So, but they consolidate, or they reunified. Let's use a positive verb here. And I think that, you know, I think that we need to, I personally think that St. Louis needs to be thinking about that now. The question is the how. So some people, there was actually a proposal, which I find really interesting, to bring like a borough system to St. Louis. Mm. That was one of the concepts of like reunification. So like you'd have like New York has a president, you know, the Brooklyn has a president, all the boroughs have presidents, right? Maybe that could be one approach to unify. There's also conversations, could the city come into the county? That's another way to do it. And so I think with the matter of who is the head or the chief executive, if if there was a consolidation, a reunification, a merger. I think the how is the bigger question. And I would say, you know, if you look at, you know, kind of where I might be treading in a dangerous territory here, where Better Together fell, you know, apart a little bit was in the how. Right. In the implementation. So,
yeah, people felt there wasn't transparency and how it would be implemented and all of that. Not necessarily that they were against the idea through and through. Just it was the how.
The how. Yeah. Right. And, you know, certainly some after effects of some arrests that happened afterwards.
Yeah. Well, let's not worry about the arrests. But the idea, generally speaking, most people that I talk to, and this is all anecdotally, they seem to be they get it. And they think, yeah, we probably are being held back by this, and it would serve us to have some sort of reunification or whatever you want to call it. I guess it's just about what the details are, right? So are most people on board with the general idea of doing this?
Well, I think so, but I don't want to fall into that concept of a plan sort of territory.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the how is really important, but I do think... you know, and obviously I'm speaking as me as a person, and, you know, there's things that we can do at the city and there's things that we can do at the county. I think now, regardless of, you know, a conversation or a reunification, there are things that we can be doing to make ourselves stronger and more competitive. But I think where St. Louis gets hung up is on the how, and it is important. Yep. But you have to remember we have, I would say that we are probably very extreme in our fragmentation. I mean, for example, when I was a reporter and I worked in Tampa, you know, Hillsborough County, that was its school district. It wasn't Hillsborough County and like 27 other school districts like we have. So we have, you know, there are so many separate, you know, political bodies. You can say that. I mean, a school district is a separate political body. And actually, that's one point I do want to make before we at least on the show, that the school board and the city are two separate governments. Yeah. But you have all these separate things. So I think people are, you know, caught up on how we do it. But I think what people should be thinking about is let's stop competing against ourselves and compete against, you know,
other regions.
Like that's what we need to do.
So we have 50 municipalities. Is that right? 50?
No, we have closer to 83.
Oh, was it 83? Oh, that's right.
82 yeah. or 83. I think it went after post Ferguson. There was some consolidation in North County of some of the smaller munis. But I think it's about 82 or 83. It's over 80.
You want to stick around a little bit longer?
Sure.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Daniela Velasquez, alderwoman here in the city of St. Louis. We'll continue our Civics 101 lesson next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Marks-Gore is with you, joined in studio by the St. Louis alderwoman representing Ward 6. That is alderwoman Daniela Velasquez. She's giving us a Civics 101 course. And you mentioned the St. Louis Public Schools as we went to break. Let's make some clarifications there when people ask, well, why can't the mayor, why can't the city do something about the schools?
Well, thank you all for having me.
Thank you all for having me. And I feel like we probably need a 101, a 201, and a 301.
Dude, I need some grad school classes on
this. We just started a series.
Our city is so confusing the way it's set up.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, should I bring like a marker board? Anyway.
Can we get mad at the current leadership? I'm mad at 150 years ago leadership of this city.
Oh, I am
it's
too.
It's just, it's like outrageous.
You had a good, I mean, we were talking about the great divorce.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what had happened was that got us here.
Yeah.
But just with the school board, I think it is important because I get asked that. So just, I guess, for context, because I think we started this conversation like trying to kind of give people a little bit of information before voting next week, since there is an election. And we have 12 people in the city running for 3 school board seats. And the school board is a separate body. It is a separate governmental, it's a separate body. So why I think that there are what we consider like soft things. When I say soft, like I think that there are ways that the city could create more communication with the school board, and there are things that we could do. But as far as the mayor, the city does not have any jurisdiction over the school board's budget, its programming, any of those things. And the school board, you know, the schools are financed, public schools are financed through taxes, but all that money funneled through the state and the Missouri Department of Secondary Education or, mm-hmm. or DESE or Department of Education. So it is separate. It doesn't mean that people I think have good points where yes, people when they want to move to a place, they look at schools mm-hmm. and safety. So they're, it's not that we shouldn't care about the schools and, you know, could, you know, the Board of Aldermen convene, you know, special hearings on the schools. Are there things that we could do to have more conversations about the schools? Yes. But is there actual, you know,
authority
over them? No.
But so, I mean, you can push them. It's just you can't make them.
Exactly.
Okay. That's not, yeah. Is that unusual or is that typical of most cities?
I think that's typical of most cities.
One thing that we were talking about that's not typical of most cities, we have, what did we say, 88? 90?
88, I think we went with, I think we finally, at least the internet says 88 municipalities.
Mid to late 80s. Mid to high 80s.
Mid to high 80s. In, like in municipalities. It's like moderate to severe municipalities.
Yes. I have moderate to severe psoriasis. So that's what we have. And something like, this is the point I was making during the break. We have mid to high 80s in municipalities, and Los Angeles has barely more than us, right? So the bottom line is we have way too many municipalities in this area. LA is the second biggest market in the country. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest markets in the world. We are not. So why do we have many municipalities here?
I mean, I think we'd have to go back. That might be a 201 class. I mean, I think there's some history there. I mean, the history that I know, I mean, we talked about the great divorce when St. Louis, you actually just said right now that they decided they wanted to keep the boundary at Forest Park.
Yeah. And they set in the charter like a boundary they didn't need to set because the people who lived in the city at the time did not want to pay taxes for people who were outside of the city in the unincorporated area.
And I think that was 1876.
It was late 1800s. Right. And so the agreement was, well, we're going to get the parks. So they get, that's why the border, the western border mm-hmm. is at the very edge of Forest Park and then Tower Grove Park. They got that one too.
Right. Well, that's, I got that one. That's in my ward.
You're welcome.
So, right. And so I think, you know, some of the history that I've read, you know, out of, you know, post-World War II, really post Brown versus Board of Education, really white flight is sort of what one of the reasons that you had this push from the city to the county. What I've also read is, you know, and I'd love to learn more. Maybe there are some listeners mm-hmm. out there who can, you know, educate me. I mean, during, you know, around the Pruitt-Igoe time and some, you know, with some rezoning and things that there was a push to zone unincorporated St. Louis County for like more multifamily places. And people didn't like that. So they incorporated mm-hmm. so they could avoid being in those broader unincorporated St. Louis County zones to avoid integration. And of course, we could talk about, you know, the school district and how, you know, St. Louis was had to be forced by the federal government to integrate our schools, which happened in the 80s. I'm a product
That's
of the
right.
public schools. So.
Yeah, it's a little late in history for that to happen. And I did not realize it until fairly recently that it took us that long and we were forced to do it.
Yeah, no. And again, we're going to need a 201 and a 301. Because I want to continue that conversation, but I did want to bring up something that you also brought up during the break, which is for voting for mayor, we have approval voting. And there's only one other city in the country that has approval voting.
Fargo, North Dakota, which I wish I would have practiced my Fargo voice.
I've got one.
Yeah, you got one.
Oh, hey? It's a great day for a marathon. See the runners with their bags, Joe? Yeah. See them?
It's like
it's a great day for an election. I just got to say it's a great day for an election.
It's a great day for an election, Joel. See the voters,
that's
Joel?
That's what they sound like in Wisconsin and in Fargo.
That's the only thing I've got. Yeah. Anyway, I'm wasting your time. But
well, no, you have me at bananas, so you know I feel like there's some little...
So us in Fargo. So how's that working out?
Well, I mean, I will just tell you. So I am both a byproduct of two major reforms in the city. One was Prop R, which was passed by the Board of Aldermen in 2012, which reduced the board from 28 to 14, which didn't go into effect until 2023, which was when I was elected. And then Prop D, which was the switch to approval voting. Partly because, and again, I would love for, you know, if there's academics who can explain it, but, you know, St. Louis has typically been a Democratic city And so kind of what that does is that it artificially, when you have a bunch of people of the same party, it sort of artificially narrows down the race, because really the, you know, the main election, instead of happening in the primary, happens in the, or happens in the, instead of it happening in the general, happens in the primary. So the idea, I think one of the ideas with approval voting is that you get a larger group of people, because you're not sort of artificially narrowing, you know, narrowing that. You have, and then you can vote for more people at the beginning in the primary. You can vote approval voting. You can vote for as many people as you want. Now, ranked choice voting, you rank them. So it's, you can vote for more than one, but you rank them. And then from what I've read, that's a little bit more complicated to count, whereas approval voting is a little bit simpler.
Just do a point system. It's not that hard.
Well, yeah, but then they got to count. I mean... You'd be surprised.
I guess.
We can make it difficult. Yeah. We can figure out.
First place, 4 points. Second place, 3. I mean, it's so easy. Whatever.
Like Hall of Fame voting?
Yeah, just like the Hall of...
See, there you go. See?
Yeah, there you go. Well,
oh my gosh. Well,
so,
we have to schedule another day.
Yeah, we have to... We need like an hour to do this, at least, because none of it makes sense, and every answer we get brings more questions.
You guys do road shows?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
can.
We can do a remote. Where should we go?
I don't know. I feel like we should have it like in a place.
This is
like a venue.
She's an ideas woman.
We are not ideas people.
This is a great idea. We're going to talk about this.
Awesome. Thank you. Daniela Velasquez, thanks. Alderwoman here in the city of St. Louis, Ward 6. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate
no
it.
No bananas next time.
Yeah. No bananas. John Rooney joins the show next on KMOX.
Now the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. And if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
A 1-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. Contreras strikes out and this ballgame has come to an end. And the Angels have won a pair of extra inning games, winning last night by a final score of 5-4 and taking this game tonight 9-7.
Just after 10:30 on Wednesdays, we visit with John Rooney, radio voice of the St. Louis Cardinals on 104.1 FM KMOX. Cardinals started the season with 3 straight wins. They now have 2 straight losses as they finish up this afternoon against the Angels at Busch. Good morning, John Rooney. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. Keep the rain away. And I think that'll be a little hard to do, though.
Yeah. So it's what? Are they going to try to get a few innings in and maybe?
They're going to try to play as much as they can.
Yeah.
And we were told this when they went to the schedule a couple of years ago where you play everybody. Be prepared for enormously long delays because we have to get these games in. And if you're going to have a team come in one time, and you don't want to eat up a day off where you're flying cross country, you'd have to stop off and play a game in July, August, or September to make it up. Then you wait at the ballpark a long time, and that's what we've done. We had like 20 hours of rain delays last year.
You know, I didn't even think about that aspect of playing everybody once or more. I mean, it makes sense.
There
now,
are no return trips.
Yeah, I didn't think about that the rain delays.
But why do you schedule those teams in April to play in the Midwest or the East,
or
parks that are not covered? I don't know.
The Angels.
You're going to have some rain delays somewhere along the line, no matter how the schedule shapes up.
Angels have not played at home yet. The Dodgers. So I guess what it's because MLB, if you've got a two-team city, they try not to schedule both teams in the same city.
But
at
their
the same
fan
time.
Bases are so different out in Southern California,
right?
And that 30-35 mile separation between the Dodgers and the Angels could be 5 hours if you get caught in traffic.
Yeah.
So no, the fan bases are different. That doesn't make much of a difference. And many times the Cubs and White Sox are home at the same time.
Yeah, that does happen a handful of times a year. So John, let's talk about the way the season started. Obviously, great way to begin the year with a sweep at home. And then now you've got these two extra inning, pretty frustrating losses. The first one, a lot of walks come back to bite them. And again, the bullpen in extra innings has a difficult time yesterday.
And Ryan Fernandez has had a tough time. Just doesn't have the bite to the slider that we've seen in the past. And Roycroft went with a slider after a devastating fastball for strike two on Paris. And then Paris hit the pitch away the opposite way. And that broke the tie in the 11th inning. And that guy's been a real pain in the neck. He had a triple to tie the game in game one. But they used their players appropriately. The Cardinals used theirs where they could score three in the 10th inning to send it to the 11th. But you take back a couple of pitches and you have a different outcome. That's how closely these games have been played.
Yeah, it's hard to win when you give up three in the 10th. It's even harder when you give up three in the 11th. But the Cardinals are hitting, except it's hard to see Contreras and Wynn still struggling at the plate, even though it's early. Do you feel that they are just off right now? Do you have bigger concerns than just that they're in a bit of a slump early on?
Oh, no, you don't have concerns right now about those two guys. I know they have concerns about what's happening to them personally. They want to get two, three, four hits a game if they can. Mm-hmm. That's the way they're built. That's the way they compete. But to be, you know, this far into the season where this is game six, I don't worry about that. Now, if we get another week or two down the road, then that becomes a concern. But I had an experience with Robin Ventura when he first came up with the White Sox. He hit a home run off Roger Clemens and then went something like 0 for 45.
Yeah.
I think his career turned out all right.
Yeah, no, I think it's right. It's like 41, 0 for 41, 0 for 45, something like that.
Yeah, it was over 40 at bats.
Definitely.
He got so mad after an out that made it like 0 for 40, he came in, slammed his helmet down, and hit Jeff Torborg in the head. The manager.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness. I think about Jeff. Jeff passed away recently, and I'm still feeling that one. He was a good friend and a great teammate in the booth. So we worked at CBS Radio and all that, but I just happened to think of that with Robin Ventura. Just so frustrated, and Jeff looked at him like, hey, and then he didn't get, the manager didn't get cut or anything by the helmet, but that could have been dangerous.
And Robin, awesome dude.
Really. Oh, one of the greatest of all time. Two of my favorites from those days in Chicago, Mark Burley, and they're going to be unveiling a statue of him in July outside the ballpark. And, of course, Mark lives in the St. Louis area over in St. Charles. And then Robin Ventura. And if you saw those guys walking down the street, you wouldn't know they were professional athletes, baseball players, but get them on the field and they put their spikes in your neck to beat you. That's what I liked about them.
What'd you think of Matthew Liberatore last night with a quality start?
I thought he looked pretty good, and he had the one bad inning, but that bad inning didn't erupt into 5, 6, 7 runs. He was able to cut it off at 3 and then put together a quality start and keep his team in the game. And sure enough, the Angels made a mistake, and the Cardinals tied it up and couldn't win in the 10th inning. And really, Chris, they had chances to win in the 9th inning on Monday in the 10th inning yesterday. They didn't get the big hits. The Angels did. They had two more hits with runners in scoring position. The Cardinals left more on in terms of runners left on base, and they missed out on some opportunities, but we'll see how it goes today.
John, I love listening to you and Ricky on the broadcast, and this is going back to Sunday's game, but I've just been chuckling about it because you mentioned that the last time the Cardinals opened a season with a series sweep was back in 2006, and they were playing the Phillies in Philadelphia, and you said you were prepping for a game. And you heard a guy just doing a really bad Art Garfunkel impression for God Bless America while you're preparing for the game.
It was America the Beautiful, America. I don't remember which one, but it was misting and the light rain then followed. And I looked at Jim Jackson. I said, who's doing the bad Art Garfunkel impersonation? And got the glasses on him down there. It was Art Garfunkel. He had a cold.
Well, I take it back.
I love that.
That's such
so
a
much.
Great story. I don't know.
Here's a guy that has a crystal clear voice that is so recognizable. But I thought, hey, this is off just a little bit. I mean, come on, develop your own style, buddy.
Yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel, they have their thing, and they have their individual careers going. Give it a break. And sure enough, it was Art Garfunkel.
That's pretty good.
Don't try to be Art. Oh, wait, that is him. That's so funny. I'm so glad that you got to experience that.
I am too. And I like to experience the 5 runs in the first inning against the Phillies that day as well. Yeah.
That's great. Hey, how about some of the same thing today? 5 runs, first inning for the Cardinals. Lock it down, get through 5, and salvage the finale before the rain comes.
Kikuchi, left-handers facing the Cardinals for the first time. And Sonny Gray is scheduled to start. But with the rain, I'm not sure the starters will go at the very beginning. You hate to burn a starting pitcher.
Right.
only six games into the season, where he's out there for an inning or two, and then the bullpen gets involved, then your bullpen's gone. And we have to go to Boston and play on Friday against the Red Sox, and then finally get into a division series with a National League team playing three in Pittsburgh before coming back home. And the Phillies will be in on that next homestand. So you don't want to burn your bullpen out right now either. And the weather has a lot to do with that in the way they plan some things. And I remember a few years back, Tony La Russa went with a bullpen starter and then brought the starter in later after we got past a short delay, that he didn't have to burn his starter for that game. And so those are some of the wheels turning right now in both clubhouses.
Hey, John, as we let you go, I just have a question. Have you ever tried archery blindfolded?
I've never really tried archery.
Yeah. Well, if you try archery blindfolded, if you haven't tried it yet, you don't know what you're missing.
Okay.
Hey.
Get it? You don't know what you're missing, Ronge, because you're blindfolded.
Yeah, we'll do the old Jack Brickhouse on that one. Back. Hey.
I got one for you, too.
Come on. That's a good one.
What do you call a dog who meditates?
A deep thinker. What?
A werewolf.
Oh, my gosh.
He liked that one.
Why'd you laugh at his?
That one's because that one's good.
That's not good.
A werewolf.
With that, I'm going to take a look at my Rain Unaware app.
All right.
And see what's happening.
See ya, John.
Bye-bye now.
John Rooney, voice of the Cardinals, part of the broadcast team, and part of the pregame show, which is coming up at 11:20 a.m. The Cardinals complete their series and their homestand against the Angels this afternoon. 12:15 is the first pitch today. It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. Not right now, but we will be giving away tickets to see the Battle Hawks. What it is a pair of passes that allow you to pick a game during the regular season to see the Battle Hawks. We're giving some away today before the show is over, and it's going to end fairly soon. Today, tomorrow, and Friday as well. So you'll need to be listening for your opportunity to win here on the Chris and Amy Show. 104.1 FM KMOX. We are taking you up until the Cardinals pregame show, which will start at 11:20 today. Mott's Madness Tournament is ongoing, Amy. And we talked about our Final Four. We have our Final Four. Are you excited about the Mott's Madness Tournament?
Well, I am. I am.
You seem disappointed in a couple of results.
I'm a little worried that we've got another scandal on our hands.
Well, yeah. So Emo's has made its way through the Pepperoni region.
Yeah.
They are the victor, and they will now face That's a Nice Pizza in the Final Four matchup, which is coming up. We will be doing all of this on Twitter, by the way, at Chris Amy KMOX. So in the sausage region, That's a Nice Pizza. They have advanced. They are the winner.
I don't know what to expect from that because let's say both Emo's and That's a Nice Pizza, let's say they have equally delicious pizza.
Uh-huh.
Emo's has the brand, the signature, that name that is universally associated with St. Louis, right? So there's sentiment there. On the other hand, That's a Nice Pizza is fun to say.
Really,
and a lot
is.
Of people really like the name. So
they
all
do?
Things being equal, a lot of people are voting for it. I'm not saying their pizza's not delicious. I'm just saying if their pizza's equally delicious, I don't know who's going to win that one.
You ever had it?
That's a Nice Pizza?
Yeah.
No, I'd never heard of it.
Mm.
Had you?
Not until this.
Matthew?
Not until this. Until we started this.
Yeah, I've had it. It's great.
Have you really?
Yeah.
More than once?
Just once. Just once.
With a lady?
Yes.
Oh.
Did she like it?
She thought it was a Nice Pizza.
Okay. In the Mushroom region, the winner is Vito's. Vito's has beaten, man, they beat Katie's Pizza and Pasta. They beat Peel. They beat Uncle Leo's. They beat Nick and Elena's. They're on quite the run. So they have made it to the Final Four as the 8 seed. And then we have our controversy. And I am telling you, Amy, you'll back me up on this. We are not in cahoots, you and I. The Pineapple and Ham region has a winner. It is a 15 seed, and we did not do this on purpose. We did not create this controversy. I know that it seems to follow our tournaments.
Yeah.
Like the sandwich scandal, which happened a couple of years ago.
Is it? I don't think we did it on purpose. Did we do it out of, like, negligence?
Negligence.
Or inattention?
Yes. Alfonso's, as the 15 seed, has won the pineapple and ham region. Here's the problem. We don't know which Alfonso's
is. And reason would have it, I mean, one would assume that if there are two Alfonso's that are not related and people are voting on Alfonso's,
yeah.
Alfonso means to them whatever they want it to mean.
Yeah.
It could mean either. So technically, Dewey's had to go up against two pizza places. Alfonso's Carrollton and Alfonso's Troy, totally separate pizza places.
I really do think the great bulk of the votes coming in from Alfonso's, and I bet it's over 90%. I bet it's at least 80, but I think it's over 90, is Alfonso's in Troy, which is more, it's a little closer to our listening area. Carrollton is about an hour away, so technically it is still in our listening area, but, you know, Troy is right there. It's not that far across the river. That's what I think people are voting on.
Okay.
So Alfonso's will face Vito's in the Final Four, and we've got Emo's going up against That's a Nice Pizza. So that's our Mott's Madness tournament.
So
later
when do people vote for the Final Four?
We'll do it later today. It'll be up later today.
And how long, Matthew Pajeski, will people be able to vote?
One day. We'll have a full day to vote.
Which is a little bit different than...
Right. Yeah. So
one day starting this afternoon or today.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
I'm excited about our Mott's Madness tournament, Amy.
I am too.
Yeah. You know what else I'm excited about?
I think I know. Does it have to do with...
Yeah, it does. We told you we'd give away a pair of tickets to see the St. Louis Battlehawks at some point this season. It's basically a voucher, and you can take it in and pick a regular season game that you want to watch the Battlehawks play at the Dome at America Center here in St. Louis. It is Battlehawks season already, you know. They have already begun.
Oh.
Yeah, like Friday. Like last Friday they played.
I think I missed that and all the excitement of opening day.
I did.
And Cardinals baseball and the Blues.
Or maybe it was Friday before. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think I did. It wasn't a home opener, though.
No, it was not a home opener.
That's why. Yeah.
Yeah, the home opener is April 6th, so that is Sunday.
Yep.
Anyway, they'll play San Antonio. Anyway, if you want to win these tickets, this is your opportunity right now.
Let's
go ahead and
do it now.
Yeah? Caller number 13. 13 to the contest line.
Yep.
314-955-1120. 314-955-1120. Best of luck to you.
We'll say a couple of comments from Brian and Robert on the YouTube channel for the Chris and Amy Show on the KMOX YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Onesto's Pizza in South City needs to be included next time you do Mott's Madness. Robert agreed with Brian. Onesto's needs to be included. And I'm trying to remember, was Onesto's one of those that didn't make the 64? Did it make the 64?
It did not make the 64.
This is...
I know.
I mean, because remember what happened with Felix's Pizza?
I know.
That
one, I can't believe it.
That one makes me want to quit the show.
That's astounding.
Honestly.
What would you like to remove in place of those?
It's too late now.
No, we can do it.
No,
pick a pizza place that you think is inferior to Felix's and Onesto's right now.
Is this a bad attitude happening
he really
right
does.
Now?
He's had a crappy
We've
attitude
got
64, for the last 10 minutes.
64 pizza restaurants. This should be pretty easy.
This poor guy.
Pick two.
A couple of people, texters. Here's one that says, "That's a nice a pizza blows away the Emos."
Whoa.
Wow. And "That's a nice a pizza should win just because of their name."
See, that's what I think. There are voters like that.
And another one says, "I'm voting for Alfonso's for the controversy only." A lot of jerks listen to this show.
That guy feels like one of our listeners.
That's exactly what it feels like. Chris and Amy Show, just a little bit to go before we get to Cardinals pregame on 104.1 FM KMOX.
The Chris and Amy Show is video streaming now on KMOX's YouTube, X, and Facebook pages. Click and subscribe.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave. Bruce Wayne could have given his life for your family, he would have.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Nice, man.
You are still dangerous. You can be my wingman anytime. You can be mine.
Ah, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Val Kilmer.
Ending with this song, like, makes me want to cry.
65 years old, Val Kilmer, just a prolific actor. Oh. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because Top Gun was such a big part of my childhood because I've seen it 175 times.
Ronch, it was my favorite movie. And I saw the edited for TV version, which was then edited by Dave Markscores on VHS. So I didn't even know there was a sex scene.
They took out the licking? They did.
Oh my gosh. Well, they took that out. Yeah. But what's funny is it went right to a Dom DeLuise commercial. So whenever I see them, like he like puts his hand in her hair and then it's like, and it's Dom DeLuise filling Ziploc bags. Forever connected in my mind. But I say all that because I watched Top Gun when I was really young. When I was 6 years old, I wrote a letter to Tom Cruise. How much I loved him. I was Charlie, you know, Kelly McGillis's character.
Yeah.
Twice for Halloween. We didn't even do Halloween.
How do you even do that?
I had a black skirt and a leather coat and a white. You know how she wore the skirt and the leather coat? And then I poofed my hair,
teased
my hair.
Did people even know what that was?
No, I had to tell them who I was. Okay. But I mean, I twice. You were a Christmas tree. I was Kelly McGillis. I loved Top Gun. I think why this is, it hits so hard, like you said. I mean, just a prolific actor. Also, the era in which he acted in our ages, right? It looms large. But his characters always felt larger than life. He seemed invincible. I mean, Iceman was invincible. Batman's invincible. But I don't know. There's something about the juxtaposition of just who Val Kilmer was, his appearance, his demeanor, the roles that he played. You don't think of him as becoming very, very ill.
He had a lot. Yeah. And he had a lot of those health issues because he looked so, I mean, he was pretty young to have a lot of that stuff happen to him.
Yeah.
And he was an actor, you know, just vibrant. And that's how you see him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he was supposed to be at a film festival. And at the time he was supposed to be appearing, like at the very time the news of his death broke. And it was apparently people at the festival were trying to get a hold of his driver because they didn't know. They didn't know what was going on. And it's just for a lot of people, very shocking because he was supposed to be at this thing. At the very time we're finding out that he had passed away. And we've had a lot of celebrity deaths lately. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about Gene Hackman passing away just a couple of weeks ago or maybe a month at this point and how sad that was. But he was older, right? Val Kilmer, mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, this one is one of those celebrity deaths that actually it kind of hits me a little hard. Mm-hmm. And I think it must be because of how many times I've seen that movie, Tombstone. You know, he's been in some really great stuff.
Did you see The Saint?
I did not. And you're the second person in 12 hours to tell me about it.
I know. And what's funny is I don't think I saw it. But the reason why I bring it up is I just keep hearing that it's underrated. Of all people, I know my mom is like me. We're Hallmark people. We don't watch a lot of movies. But I want to say that they saw The Saint in theater, which is so unlike them. They never went to the theater. But I remember just people having positive things about The Saint, even though it's not one of the more discussed movies.
Right.
Very rarely is it a popular discussion, but I want to watch it now because I did hear it's very good.
I was texting with somebody last night right as we found out about it within 15, 20 minutes. And that's when this movie came up about The Saint. And she said it was terrible, but it was good.
Really?
At the same time, somehow simultaneously. Both.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I know. My mom might text in if she's listening and go, I never saw it. I don't know. I don't know why I'm making that association because I think it was the mid-90s. Did you saw Top Gun Maverick, right? Please say yes.
I did.
Okay. I know that there are so many, what is it called when you, the fan nuggets, what are those called?
Fan eggs.
What?
Easter
eggs, but fan service or whatever it is called when you kind of throw a cheesy thing in because the fans want
That's an Easter egg.
No, it's not that.
Pandering.
Yeah, it's somewhere between Easter egg and pandering. Because Easter egg means there's some tact. You got to find it. Versus like the whole like, talk to me, goose. Like, I didn't need that. I didn't need them to say that over and over again. We get it. So there were some moments like that in Top Gun Maverick. But I actually loved the movie. The more I, every time it's on, I can't help myself but watch it. And I feel, how did you feel about the way Val Kilmer was incorporated into that movie? Because they obviously incorporated his condition, and they showed that he became a general.
Oh, no, I thought it was good the way they did it.
Yeah.
Because you desperately wanted him to be in the thing, and that's all you could do, because he was really sick at the time and dealing with all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's nothing else you could do other than completely remove him, but you can't do that either.
Did you know that some of his voice in that movie, some of it was AI? Because he couldn't talk that much.
I feel like I did hear that.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's weird why sometimes there were some nuggets that were thrown in there that I felt like were a little unnecessarily like, okay, you don't have to be too cheesy. But then there were moments that hit extra hard. And I think the Val Kilmer scene is so sad because he's not acting. Like, he really was
sick.
Right,
right.
He's not going to talk. He's not going to get better. And he dies in the movie, which was not that long ago, really. I don't know. Like, I agree with you. This one hits a little bit harder than some of the other ones did.
It must be because still pretty young, people don't die at 65 usually. And because he was such a big part of my childhood, you know, the backdrop of it anyway with those movies. And man, he's got a great part in Tombstone. I love Tombstone, and it's one of those that anytime it's on, like, AMC or TNT or whatever, you just kind of, we call it getting Shawshanked, because when Shawshank is on, Shawshank Redemption, no matter what part of the movie it's on, you feel like you have to stop and watch the rest of it.
Yeah.
So I have seen the ending of Shawshank Redemption 500 times. I've seen the beginning twice.
Yes. So I can tell you, Top Gun Maverick, I get Shawshanked. Hunt for the Red October.
Oh, you get Shawshanked on that too?
So bad. And also, that one's like 4 hours with commercials, right?
Yeah.
And this one, I feel like you're going to get mad at me because I feel like you're a baseball guy and you're going, oh, that's stupid. I get Shawshanked with Moneyball. I don't know why.
You know what?
I can't pull myself away.
There's something about it because I think the movie is good, but the closer you are to baseball and the more you pay attention to it, a lot of the stuff is sort of cringy.
Well, I feel
guess.
Like, that's why I feel like Kevin Wheeler. Oh, that's a stupid movie. Nobody would act like that. But I'm not that close to baseball.
Right.
I'm not you. I'm not Kevin. So I like the combo of Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. I thought they were great together.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It was just
funny. I think Jonah Hill's good in that movie. He's goofy. Brad Pitt's pretty compelling as an actor. I don't know. For some reason, I get Shawshanked with that movie, Red October, and now Top Gun Maverick, which I did not see for a very long time after it came out.
I didn't either. It took me a while. Robert is watching the show on YouTube, and he says the movie Top Secret, it is perfectly ridiculous and underrated. I think I've only seen it
like
once or twice, and it's been a while. But maybe, I remember liking it.
Maybe that's like The Saint. So my mom texted. She goes, I don't remember seeing it. But she goes, it was a series. And I forgot that. The Saint was an old black and white TV show.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that?
I think it was black and white. No, I know. But I think the movie had something to do with that.
Oh.
I think.
It could have been.
Now I'm just speculating.
So Val Kilmer passed away, complications from pneumonia. And again, he was dealing with the throat cancer and that's had some pretty severe stuff going on with him and had multiple surgeries. And, you know, of course, it lost his voice. So just sad, man. And I don't know why, but it is. That's one that really kind of got to me a little bit. Congratulations, by the way, to Terry in O'Fallon, Missouri, who has won tickets to see the St. Louis Battlehawks. Don't worry.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
Back up, Terry.
Put it in reverse. Oh, Terry.
You can get your chance again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Got to be listening for your chance to win. And Friday, listen for your opportunity to win Battlehawks tickets. Cardinals play this afternoon, and we got the pregame show coming up in a matter of minutes.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, salvage the finale here. Come on.
Salvage the finale.
Let's go. Let's go. Cardinals baseball is coming up. The pregame show happens very, very soon. And then first pitch is scheduled for 12:15. Right now it's dry. So hopefully they'll get that game started at Busch Stadium to wrap up the opening homestand of 2025. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Thanks to Andy Strickland, Daniela Velasquez, John Rooney. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 9 o'clock.